And whom else? Anyone else, perhaps, maybe? I'm sure someone else is going down with her. Yep, good. Lindsay's on it. Beautiful. Mindy's going to give a quick little announcement, something that we're trying to keep in front of everybody here on a month-to-month basis.
Literally, in front of you. Hi, my name's Mindy Law, for those of you who don't know me, and I am one of the stewards on the Steward of Care team. And I get the privilege of introducing the next steward of the month, Mark Carroll. I know he's here. Where are you, Mark? Oh, we went downstairs, of course. So I think these are on your seat. You can check this out and learn a little bit more about Mark. I also wanted to mention a couple things. First of all, we have a Helping Hands Fund here at the branch, which gets contributed to maybe a couple times a year. Wanted to remind everyone that there are funds available if you, or even if you know someone outside of the branch who could use some financial assistance. Maybe it could just be they need help with groceries for the week, or maybe some winter clothing for their kids. So just know that those funds are available that you could bring to our team, and we would love to help somebody out and follow up with them on that. And then the other thing that we want to make you aware of that our team is trying to be more proactive with is that there's like a need. Maybe you need some type of assistance from the community, maybe be some counseling, or looking for a job. There are resources available that we might be able to hook you up with, maybe connect you with some agencies that we would love to make you aware of and be of service to you. So keep that in mind. And that also goes for, again, not just people here at the branch, but people you work with or live in the neighborhood with. So that's it.
We want to be mindful of the needs around us.
Helps out with that and takes the lead. All right. Thanks, Mindy. Hey, everybody. Matthew 13 is where we're going to end up here in a few minutes, if you want to start going in that direction. I want to start with a story, though. You know, when I was, and it's perfect that my wife's downstairs because it's kind of about her. As I was in college, entering my junior year, I had on my mind the idea of finding a girlfriend. I hadn't been dating for a little while, and this was just kind of something I was in search of. Although it's not like I woke up every morning and thought, today my mission is to find a girlfriend. Like, that wasn't it, you know, but it was always just kind of hanging around in the back of my mind. And so at the start of our junior year, about 50, 60 college students went on a canoe trip up to the Pere Marquette River, which is a brilliant idea. You know, thankfully, they were all, you know, pretty well-behaved kids, not bringing coolers of beer along. But nonetheless, it got a little rowdy. And on the van ride up there, I had identified someone who I thought was pretty cool. It was Bethany. We rode in the same van, and I thought, this person, there's something about her. We didn't know each other well. We had kind of bumped into each other a little bit here and there in the previous school year, but I thought, this girl I like. And how do I get her to notice me? That's what I was thinking of as we embarked on this canoe trip. And I came up with the very, very brilliant idea that what I would do is I would tip her canoe. Because that will, of course, cause her to pay attention to me and notice me. And I remember kind of running, we were maybe half an hour into the trip. I remember getting out of my canoe, running down the river towards her canoe, and she looks at me with like this shock, and who are you and why are you running at my canoe? And I tip it, and they go in the water. It didn't work, guys. It didn't work. So if you are a young person and you're wondering how to gain the attention of another, don't do that. Don't do that. It worked in the long run. I'll tell you what worked. So here's the point of the story. What I realized as I paid attention to her in the coming months, and it took quite a number of months before we ever had our first date, what I realized is that bumping up against Bethany in my search for a girlfriend, I discovered that there was actually something else I needed to pay attention to. You know, Bethany was here, focused, full of conviction, and I was like 19 and clueless about most of life. And bumping up against her made me really examine a lot about who I was, what I believed, what I wanted, what I thought. This was all happening without any of her knowledge. Again, this is in the months like leading up to our first date, just kind of being around her and bumping into her. It did that for me. I was searching for a girlfriend, and I unexpectedly found something else, an invitation to self-reflection. And I wonder if this has ever happened to you, if you've ever been looking for something that you thought was really valuable, and then you discovered in your search something else. You came across something that you weren't looking for, but that you realized and discovered actually was of much greater value. Maybe it's not a grand story about how you met, you know, a spouse, but maybe it's, you know, you're at the grocery store and you're looking for ketchup, in search of ketchup, and you bump into an old friend that you haven't seen in a long time. You were looking for one thing, and you kind of came across something else. And that something else was of much greater value. I think this happens to us from time to time, and I'm sharing this story and kind of moving us in this direction because it connects directly to the parable that we're going to look at today. And we may set a record today because today's parable is really, really, really short. Matthew 13 is full of parables, but we're only going to look at two verses. In two verses, we get one parable about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, that's what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 13. He is telling parable after parable after parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And this is what we find in Matthew 13, 45 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. And there it is. That's the parable. Some are long, this one not so much. In fact, this would be an easy one to read right past, wouldn't it? If you were going through Matthew 13, you could cruise past this thing without any work on your part at all. And it's straightforward, right? Two verses, one character, a pearl, simple. And maybe it is simple. I've been saying in this series that there are lots of ways to read Jesus' parables. And perhaps one way to read this parable is to read it simply. I think that's certainly how I would have read it growing up. And you know, this parable is very straightforward. It's not hard to figure out. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great value. And in fact, that the kingdom is so valuable that it is worth giving everything up for. Right? That'd be one way to read this parable. But there are others. And so let's look carefully at this for a moment. Let's read it slowly and see what else might be here. And perhaps maybe a good place to start is to ask ourselves, okay, if this is about the kingdom of heaven, what does Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is like, right? What's the subject matter of this parable? And I think, again, I might just read this quickly and say, well, this is about a pearl. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. But that's not what Jesus says. He says the kingdom of heaven is like what? A merchant who is searching in search of fine pearls, but who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. If you read this too quickly, you're going to think the kingdom of heaven is like a great pearl. That's not what Jesus says. This is actually not a parable primarily about pearls. I want to suggest to you it's a parable about process. A process that someone undergoes in which they learn to realize in their life what is of greatest value, and they give up everything for it. So this is a parable about a merchant who's in search of what again? Pearls, fine pearls, yep. And it's interesting, Jesus could have chosen any commodity he wanted to here, a merchant in search of soybeans, right? A merchant in search of carpentry nails, right? But he doesn't use that, he uses pearls. In other words, something of great value. So it's not that the merchant is just kind of out wandering aimlessly looking for things that don't matter. No, the merchant is looking for something of great value. And perhaps it's at this point in this very short parable that we find a doorway in. Because who here isn't searching for something? And who of us isn't seeking after what we believe is valuable? Maybe it's financial security that we're searching for. Maybe it's a certain body shape. Perhaps we're in search of fulfillment or a deeper sense of purpose. Maybe we're desperately looking for more balance. Or we're constantly searching for ways to be more comfortable, to feel more secure. Maybe we're in search of a way to get rid of that nagging sense that we haven't done enough. Or frankly, maybe the thing we're searching for is the new thing, whatever that thing might be. Like the merchant, we all are in search of something, and it very well may be something of value. But then something really interesting happens in this parable. The merchant is out. He's looking for pearls. And then he finds one of great value. May not seem like that big of a deal, but let's give this some thought for a moment. The merchant is looking for things that the merchant can do what with? Buy, sell, trade, right? This is what merchants do. They take a commodity and they buy it for a price and then sell it for a greater price in order to make a living, right? So the merchant here is in search of fine pearls. It's plural because he needs probably many of them in order to buy and sell and make a profit and have a business. But then he finds one pearl, one that's unique, one that is above all else in value. He thought he knew what he was looking for. Fine pearls that allow him to do what he does as a merchant. And then he comes across something unexpected and something that he deems to be better. This is not what he's looking for. He's not out looking for one pearl. That's not what a merchant would probably be doing. He wants to find many of them to have. He finds something unexpected. And then he has a choice. What will he do? Will he marvel at the one pearl, but end up going about his life, go back to that search for fine pearls, plural? Or will he do whatever must be done to gain it, to grab it, to not let it go? See, the kingdom of heaven is not like a pearl of great value. That's not what Jesus says. It is like a person who undergoes a process, who is seeking after something they believe is of value, but then they stumble upon something of even greater worth. And in that moment, they sell everything they have to gain it. And here's where maybe we get to the most challenging part of this parable. Because Jesus is clear. The kingdom of heaven is like someone who sells everything in order to buy the one thing. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I come across Jesus' teachings sometimes, especially ones like this, I try to downplay them often. domesticate them, kind of dial them back a little bit, right? I mean, in this parable, certainly Jesus can't actually mean that we should sell everything. That's crazy, right? It's reckless, it's rash, it's irresponsible. And so I think we often come to this parable and we try to downplay what Jesus is saying, and we say things like, well, Jesus doesn't really mean that we should get rid of everything, liquidate all of our assets. This isn't really about economics or about possessions. This is just metaphorical. He just means that we should be willing to sacrifice the things that are important. Maybe. But then we read that story about that young rich man who comes to Jesus and says, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, obey the commandments. And the man says, that's what I've done. What else should I do? And Jesus says, well, you should, remember, sell everything, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Or we have the disciples who are just going about their day. They're in search of the things that you and I are in search of. They're looking for things that we're looking for, making a living, maybe having a family, a home, these sorts of things. And then out of the blue comes this unexpected pearl. Jesus shows up, and what do? They leave everything for him. Now, those of you who are very astute, we'll say, hold on, Chris, not everyone who followed Jesus liquidated their assets, and you would be right. Mary and Martha, two people who love Jesus, and their brother Lazarus, they don't sell their house. They don't quit their jobs. They stay living in Bethany, in the village, in their house. When Jesus visits, he stays there, but they don't liquidate everything, and Jesus seems to love them just fine. You know? Or Zacchaeus, that little guy who climbs up in the tree, you know? He does have to make right the way in which he's cheated people financially. But he doesn't sell everything when he meets Jesus. He doesn't liquidate all of his assets. So on the one hand, Jesus never commands everyone to sell everything. You won't find that in the scriptures. But on the other hand, you do have this parable and the one before it, which we didn't read, and the story of the young man and the example of the disciples. These examples of when people come across something of great, great value, they are willing to give up everything. So what do we do with this? Well, we're going to have to wrestle with this probably far beyond this sermon. In other words, I'm not going to solve this for you. You've got to wrestle with what to do with this. I've got to wrestle with what to do with this. Does it mean that you should go home and liquidate everything? Probably not. But then what does it mean? One thing I'll throw out there is I think it's safe to say that Jesus is trying to get us to see that there are things in this world that are more valuable than other things. Not everything is equal. Not everything that you are searching for, not everything that I'm in search of, is of equal value. And if we find the things that are of greatest value, we should be willing to do whatever it takes to grab a hold of those things and not let them go. Let's shift gears for a second. How many of you have heard of, or maybe you've read, Thomas Keating? Anybody know this person? A few of you? Yep. I would recommend his stuff to you. He just passed away last week at 95. Catholic monk, really a modern-day mystic, a contemplative teacher. Keating was a force of compassion and wisdom. And he said once that we spend, you and I, spend most of our lives underwater. Not literally, of course, this is metaphorical. You know, metaphorically, we spend most of our lives underwater. We go about our lives feeling the pressure that water places on a person. From all sides, we feel it. And all the time, there's this constant resistance. When you swim in the water, it takes work And unless you have a pair of goggles, it's really tough to see underwater, isn't it? You can kind of make things out, but it's blurry. Sometimes just downright not possible. But Keating goes on to say that even though we spend most of our life under the water, there are these moments when our head clears the surface. When we're able to look around and get our bearings, when we see life clearly for what it really is, we see what is really true, what is really worth chasing after, what is really valuable. I think that sounds a bit like our parable today. It's as if the merchant is swimming around underwater, trying to find something of value, when unexpectedly he breaks through the surface, his head gets above the water, he sees clearly, he spots what really matters, and then he does everything to get a hold of it and not let it go. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. Boy, friends, I'll tell you, I have found in my life that it is really hard to keep my head above water. The hurry, the demands, the pressures that we put on ourselves can pull us back under, which means that it is difficult to see clearly. To spot the one pearl is no easy task. It's quite possible to just go right by it, to miss it. I think about how my daughter comes to me regularly asking to play. And I tell her, I have work to do, honey. Which might be true. I might have work to do. And work is important. You got to work. But when I get to the end of my life, I'm on my deathbed, what will I say was more important? My relationship with my kid or that Excel spreadsheet? And again, Excel spreadsheets are fine. So are pearls. But can I see in the moment what is of greater worth? And can I grab it? Even if it means selling everything. Or an opportunity comes along, an invitation comes to you to go to someone's home for dinner, or to join a group of people, or you have this chance to step out of your comfort zone and deepen relationships, but you feel the pull of comfort. And sure, comfort is fine. So are pearls. But what if there is something of even greater value? Can we see it? Maybe we sense God inviting us to take a bold step of love or of service, to open up our home to a neighbor for dinner, or to give a sacrificial gift, or to swallow our pride and extend forgiveness, or to do the hard work of self-reflection. And you see, maybe we begin to get a glimpse of that one pearl, that one thing that would be worth more than all the others, but the pull of safety and of the familiar is strong. Friends, this parable calls you and I to be people who, when their heads get above water in those sometimes rare moments, and we, to our surprise, find an unexpected treasure, we are called to be people who do everything to grab a hold of it. This is a parable not about a great pearl. It is about process, about becoming people who learn to see what is of most value and then who give up everything for it. And that, friends, is how the kingdom of heaven comes to earth. It's when people like you and I, who are going about our normal lives, unexpectedly discover the things of greatest worth, and we trade it all in if necessary for that one thing. And the kingdom of heaven comes to earth when we're willing to, yes, even liquidate everything, when we're willing to do what others might see as rash or irresponsible, because we know, in fact, that what we are gaining is worth far more than what we had. I can't tell you when the moments will come for you when your head will get above water and you'll spot that thing. It will probably come at moments that are unexpected, just like it did for this merchant. I can't tell you what it is that you might have to give up or what it is that you might gain. But there's no question that these moments are happening and will continue to happen in your life, when you and I will have choices between things that are may be of value, but there will be something else of even greater worth. And yes, that might be the kingdom, in fact. Yes, that might be Jesus, in fact. But it might be a lot of other things that help bring heaven to earth. See, we're called to be people who live in the kingdom of heaven now, and who learn how to spot what matters most. We're to be people who focus on the one, not on the many, who can cut through all the clutter and noise to see that one thing of greatest worth, and then do any and everything to get it. Let's pray together. The kingdom of heaven is like, this is how you start this parable to us, Jesus. And it makes us begin to wonder how we might fit into this story. How does the kingdom of heaven show up in our lives? And where are we searching for things of value only to discover something of even greater worth? And what are you asking us? What might we need to let go of, to surrender, to trade in, to sell, in order to get that thing that matters most? Would you, Jesus, help us to be those kinds of people who can get our heads above water by your grace and see what is really true and what is really valuable and what is really worth chasing after? And then would you give us the courage, the crazy courage, to do whatever is required, to grab a hold of that one pearl of great worth? Help us to be people who go through this process and are changed by it, and as we are changed, we help to change the world. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. When I think about that parable,